the part that needed her to save him. He wanted her to see something good in him, because he couldn't find it, and it would be lost if she wasn't there to bring it out. The door was open, and Lana stood in the doorway, knocking softly to grab his attention. "Is she asleep?" He shook his head. "Drifting. The pills are starting to kick in." She came in and sank down on the bed, dropping one hand on the blanket, finding Anya's ankle beneath it, as if she wanted that connection as well. "I like her, Reaper. I like her a lot. When you brought her to my room, I was so upset. I thought she was like the other women, and I didn't want any of them in my private room. And then I could see she meant something to you, so I really looked at her, the way I did at Blythe, and I realized she was someone very special." Reaper nodded. "Gotta agree with that, Lana. I should have stood up more, fought harder for her. I said something, but I didn't push it. I wanted to, because I knew the moment I took the time to know her, she was incapable of betraying us like that. Now, I feel like I betrayed both of you. You fought for her, but you needed someone to back you, and I didn't do it. I'm really, really sorry." Reaper sighed. "In the end, Lana, it's about Zar and Blythe. The ghosts are targeting the wives and daughters of the presidents of the clubs. That means they would go after Blythe. Above all, we have to protect them. As much as I hated it, and hated everyone because they were insistent, I knew it had to be done. I should have at least asked her myself first."
"She wouldn't have told you. She was too scared."
Lana sighed and rubbed Anya's ankle through the blanket. "I hate us sometimes, Reaper. I hate that we can't ever be anything but what Sorbakov made us." He nodded. "I know what you mean. They taught us two things, Reaper. How to have sex every way possible, and how to kill every way possible. They left out relationships. They left out love. They left out all the things everyone else knows about. Blythe wouldn't have let us make the decision to interrogate Anya that way. She would have stopped us." Reaper shook his head. "Zar wouldn't have allowed her to know or weigh in." He looked past Lana to see Zar's wide shoulders framed in the doorway. His gut clenched. A surge of rage boiled deep. He suppressed it, threading his fingers through Anya's fingers, reminding himself she didn't need raised voices and anger. Lana glanced over her shoulder and saw their president.
"I'm staying close tonight and tomorrow, just in case she needs me. Let me know if you think of anything I can do."
She stood and touched Anya gently.
"Those things she said about you weren't true, Reaper."
He didn't reply. He just watched her go. He wasn't the only one hurting over what had happened, and somehow that helped. Zar came all the way in to stand beside the bed. Reaper shook his head. "You're not my favorite person right now, Zar," he said honestly. "Go home to your woman and leave me with mine."
"Reaper,
you know Absinthe was as gentle as possible under the circumstances. If she hadn't fought him so hard, bullshit. She was protecting herself. My woman's broken, Zar, so you could know yours was safe. Go home. This isn't the time." Reaper leaned his head against the headboard and closed his eyes, not wanting to look at the man he'd protected for nearly all his life. He was angry, but mostly at himself, at the choices he'd made and never stopped making, the choices he knew he would continue to make. "I'll talk to her. You heard her. You heard what she thinks of all of us, especially me. She wore me on her skin, just as I asked, and I repaid her by letting Absinthe rape her mind." He knew Zar wouldn't have a clue what he was talking about, but it didn't matter. He knew. He knew, and he was ashamed. "Reaper." Reaper shook his head. "Go, Zar." He was suddenly weary. "There isn't anything to talk about tonight. Tomorrow, maybe. Not tonight. Tonight I'm going to hold her and make sure the demons don't come for her. Nothing's going to hurt her again. You can give me that much, can't you? one fucking night with her before she walks out of my life for good. I'll give you your space now. And I'm sorry, brother. Take some time with her. But we're going to have to talk about those three in the bar tonight. I really am sorry for the way this turned out. Reaper was sure they all were sorry, especially him, but it didn't change what they'd done to Anya. He waited to talk to her again until Czar left the room, closing the door behind him, locking the two of them in the room alone together. "You awake?" Because her breathing wasn't even, she nodded her head. Her hair slid over his thighs, tangled around his cock. It felt right to just sit on the bed with her head in his lap. It didn't feel as if she was trying to control him or seduce him. It felt comforting, peaceful. He imagined this was something men and women did at the end of the day, just breathing each other in when they were both hurting like hell. "Is the headache any better?"
"Strong pills."
The soft murmur was set against his bare thigh. Her lips whispered over his skin like a caress. He closed his eyes to savor the feeling, letting it comfort him even more. The pills were strong. Steele had made certain he'd given her ones that would block the pain as much as possible. It wouldn't take away betrayal or hurt, but hopefully her head would be better.
"I like them, Preacher, Lana. I liked them."
His heart sank. There were tears in her voice.
"Baby, they liked you too. No one wanted you hurt, least of all me. I thought they were becoming my friends, maybe even family."
"They were. They are. Families fight, Anya. Families get past hard things." He wanted to hope. He wanted a fucking miracle. Was it too much to ask for her? Did the universe hate him so fucking much that it wouldn't even allow him to have one good thing that was all his in his life?
"I don't know," she whispered. "I never had a family."
That just about killed him. He brushed her hair back from her face again. She was still, holding her head carefully in case moving it brought back the throbbing pain. He held himself just as still in case just shifting his legs caused her pain.
"Is he some kind of human lie detector?"
They never discussed one another's psychic talents with outsiders. Was she an outsider? Not to him, but it was ingrained to protect the others. Something like that. He was deliberately vague. There was no explaining Absinthe's talent anyway. He'd practiced for hundreds of hours, working to be able to use his voice to reach into others' minds. He'd sat on the floor in the dungeon, bloody and bruised, tears running down his face, practicing, so maybe the next time he could stop what the pedophiles running the school did to him and the others.
"Is my car fixed?"
"It's a shit car, baby. I told you that already. The boys are good, but they aren't miracle workers." His heart accelerated. She wanted that car so she could disappear out of his life.
"Did they get it running?"
He was glad to tell the truth. "Not yet. They're trying. Roller skates are probably safer." He hoped for a brief smile, even a small one, but he didn't get it. The only sign he had that she wasn't completely pulling away was the hand he was still holding. Either she was too worn out to notice, or, like him, she couldn't quite give up what they'd started.
"I don't know how to skate."
"You never learned?"
"No. It wasn't something we had a lot of time for. We would leave the shelter in the morning and hit the street, looking for food."
Her head stirred then, rubbing against him like a cat. It was small, that little subtle movement, but he took it as a caress, just like her lips whispering over him.
"Well, Mom looked for drugs, and I looked for food," she corrected.
"She was only 16 when she had me. Her parents kicked her out, and she stayed on the streets. I stayed with her."
"God, baby,"
he whispered, his fingers tangled in her hair.
"I didn't have it bad, the way you did." My mom ran interference. I didn't understand that was what she was doing, but to keep them away from me, she went off with them. She whispered the confession to him there in the dark, just as he'd confessed to her. I wish I'd known what she'd sacrificed for me when she was alive. She didn't want you to know. He hadn't wanted Savage to know the brutal things he'd endured to keep the worst of the offenders off his younger brother. The problem had been Savage had thought he'd been keeping those same offenders off Reaper. "I didn't want it to be over," she whispered, and then his thigh was wet with her tears. He wasn't certain if she meant her mother's death or the two of them. "I don't want it to be over either," he answered, and there might have been tears in his eyes. He knew he meant the two of them. Chapter 10 Anya woke to screams, to pounding in her head, and visions of shadowy men and women surrounding little boys, reaching for them, and she couldn't stop them. She tried to fight them. She tried pleading. She did what her mother had done and offered her body in their place. Nothing stopped those monsters from seizing the terrified children. "It's all right, beautiful. I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere. I've got you." That voice, so like velvet, stroking over her skin, soothed the pounding in her head. "That's it, Anya. Come back to me. Open your eyes." It took a moment to realize there were arms around her and someone was moving a cool cloth over her forehead. She'd had plenty of nightmares in her life. She'd never once remembered waking up in someone's arms with a voice telling her it was all going to be okay. Her mother hadn't been a woman to allow her to cuddle at night. She'd had other things to do. She took a breath and breathed Reaper into her lungs. He was still with her, still holding her close. She shivered with awareness, with the last remnants of her nightmare clinging stubbornly. But his body heat surrounded her, and his arms felt strong. His heartbeat was close and steady. "Baby," he whispered softly, his mouth against her temple, his lips brushing back and forth with kisses. "Wake up for me. You're having another nightmare." His hand pushed back the hair tumbling around her face, his fingers removing the silky strands that felt like cobwebs. "I shouldn't have told you about that school. It's gone now, closed. The teachers are dead." It took effort to lift her lashes and look at the face of her fallen angel. God, he was beautiful. A beautiful, troubled man, forged by the fires of hell, ravaged by monsters. She touched one of the scars on his face. She'd wanted to do that since the first moment she'd seen him, but Reaper wasn't a man one touched. She expected him to stop her, but he didn't. His eyes blazed down into hers, and where before she'd seen remoteness, cold, now she saw something else, something that terrified her because it was there too late. "You can't know that." "What can't I know, beautiful?" He turned his head and caught her finger in his mouth. Her stomach did a slow, fluttering roll. His mouth was hot, scorching. His tongue slid over her finger. She was weak to let him do this. Hold her. Whisper to her. Be close when she was so vulnerable. Still, she didn't pull away because he was everything she needed, and just like the sex, she'd take what she could get before she had to force herself to leave him. "You can't know those horrible people are dead. You were just a little boy." His eyes changed, went dark, flat. He let her finger slide away. "I killed them, one by one. I crawled through the vents of that school, or I waited until they beat the hell out of me and let me out of the chains. Then I did it." He rubbed his wrist and up his forearm. Her gaze dropped to the scars there, evidence that he was telling the truth. "You were a boy. How could you manage against grown men?" "And women," he added. "Some of the women were the worst." She felt the shudder that moved through his body. She wanted to hold him, comfort him, take away the very real nightmare he'd suffered. His hand moved through her hair. I killed them, Anya. The first one when I was 5. He tortured Savage. He brought him back to the dungeon, bloody, barely recognizable, and Czar and I decided enough was enough. We had to find a way to fight back or they were going to kill us too. That's who you're with. That's the man I try so hard to get away from so you don't have to be in bed with him, but he's the biggest part of me. He told her, looking her straight in the eye. She saw that he was expecting condemnation. No wonder her angel had fallen from the skies. She couldn't imagine that little boy, what he'd gone through and what he'd had to do to get out of such a hellhole. He really had been forged in the fires of hell. What of the others? She didn't want to have sympathy for them, but what had been done to them? What had a prison, pretending to be a school filled with pedophiles, pretending to be instructors, done to all of them? It was obvious. They had survived by working together.
The first time I saw you, Reaper, I thought you were the most beautiful man in the world, a fallen angel. I still think that. I think you're the most amazing man to do the things in your life you've had to do, to overcome being in hell enough just to function.
For the first time, his entire face softened. All those tough, hard features, all those lines and scars. "I'm always going to be in hell, baby," he said. "There's no other place for me." Tears burned behind her eyes, because that angel hadn't seen her. He hadn't looked into her to see the woman who would have walked through hell with him.
"I know."
Why hadn't he talked to her like this before? She might have had the courage to stay and try to fight for a relationship with him. Why hadn't he held her after having sex with her? That might have made her strong enough to outweigh the betrayal.
"My head hurts. It really hurts, and I can't think."
"You're thinking too much. It's just us right now, Anya. The world can keep moving all around us, but just for now, in here, in the dark, it's just the two of us."
"Are you trying to persuade me to stay?"
"Yes." His answer was stark and raw. So was the look on his face. She shook her head, and the action punctuated the pain.
"I can't. I need a man whose first loyalty is to me. I want him fierce with his protection of me and our children. With you, the club will always come first. And I understand. I do. I just can't live with that. I want a family, Reaper. You have one. You have brothers and sisters who love you and are loyal to you in a way they could never be loyal to me. I'm glad you have that. I really am. But I need it, too.
They would accept you and be just as loyal to you. Baby, you have to understand what we're like. Czar is the glue that held us together. He was the brains that got us out of there. He was the driving force to make us work harder, to practice our skills, so we could each contribute in our fight to stay alive. We have absolute loyalty to one another, that's true. But they'll have that same loyalty to you once you're with us. They will. He hadn't. Reaper had chosen the club over her.
"I'm sure they'd be very loyal to me until they considered me a threat."
She might be able to find a way to forgive him, but not them, not the others. She would never believe they would accept her, and after what they'd done, she wouldn't accept them. She needed to bide her time, stay sweet, and keep her temper under control until she wasn't so vulnerable. "Baby, I know we're hard to understand. All we've ever known is protecting one another. The way this was handled wasn't right, but it was the way we were trained. The way we survived."
"My head hurts. Really, Reaper, it's getting worse."
She didn't want to hear that his family would accept her and be loyal to her. She knew better, even if he didn't. They had a bond that was unbreakable, and she understood it. She did. They'd grown up together, suffered together, knew one another's worst secrets. Of course they would be loyal to one another. It was an exclusive club, and no one else would ever be truly welcomed. "I know your head aches, baby. I've texted Steele.
He'll be here shortly with the pain pills. You can go back to sleep after you eat something. You can't take that shit on an empty stomach.
What time is it?
Around 10 in the morning. Elena texted she was making breakfast for us. Do you need to go to the bathroom?
Desperately.
She wasn't certain she could face the light that would be outside in the hall. Her head felt as if someone had taken a baseball bat to her, but to her insides. Or sliced her up so there were pieces missing, protective covering that had been stripped away by a sharp blade. Reaper shifted her immediately and slid out from under the sheet, reaching for her. She loved being in his arms. He was extremely strong and gave her the illusion of protection. She knew that was what it was, pure illusion.
Do you remember Lana coming by last night, or were you too sleepy?
He pulled open the door and the light hit her. It pierced her skull like a missile. She cried out, turned her head to bury it against his chest, her eyes squeezed shut as tightly as possible.
Do you?
He persisted. She didn't want to remember Lana or her voice, that sadness, the regret. She knew it was genuine. Lana saying she liked her, that she should have stood up for her more. She said Reaper had, and she should have backed him. Anya knew she needed to hold on to the fact that those she'd thought were her friends had turned on her. Reaper hadn't helped her. He hadn't stood in front of her and protected her. He'd chosen Czar and Blythe, not her. Light bounced off the pale-colored walls in the bathroom, putting spots before her eyes. He set her on her feet, and she clutched at the sink to keep from falling.
I have to be alone in here, Reaper. I can't do the things I have to do if you're in here with me.
I'll be in there if you fall, Anya, he warned. Don't lock the door.
She knew it was a waste of time, so why would she bother? He reluctantly went out, and she was able to breathe deeply. She hadn't realized she had been breathing shallowly, trying to keep him out of her lungs, out of her bloodstream. After taking care of business, she stared at herself in the mirror. She looked worse than she'd first suspected, far worse. There were dark circles under her eyes. Her hair was wild. She had thick hair, and it tended to get bigger as the day progressed, which meant going through the night. It had increased to gargantuan proportions. Her brush sat on the counter, but she couldn't find the necessary energy to use it. She stood at the sink, staring at herself in the mirror, wondering how she had fallen so hard, so fast, how she was going to live through leaving her dream behind. She'd fought all her life to pull herself out of the gutters, but life kept knocking her down, trying to tell her she couldn't leave the streets, she belonged there. She was the trash others threw away.
Anya!
Reaper pushed the door open.
What the hell?
He was across the room, sweeping her into his arms.
Baby, you're crying.
Was she? She hadn't known. Only that her image looked blurry in the mirror. But she really couldn't see herself anymore. The reality of her had blurred, and she thought that was the reason. She didn't answer him. She just turned her face against the heavy muscles of his chest and let herself cry.
Reaper, get her in bed.
Steele's voice penetrated the echo of her sobs. She clutched Reaper's neck tighter. The way these people were about nudity drove her nuts. Reaper didn't break stride, but took her back into the darkness of her bedroom. Dropping one knee to the bed, he put her in it. She caught the sheet and drew it up quickly.
Sit up, baby, just for a minute. You need to take these pills. They'll help the pain in your head.
Remember last night? They took the pain away.
She took them without protest, her eyes downcast, but she could still see Steele standing in the doorway and knew he was watching her. She wanted to put the covers over her head. She remembered looking at him the night before, looking at each of them, hoping to find some sympathy. Their faces had been as blank as Reaper's, with maybe the exception of Lana's.
Reaper, we've got a meeting in an hour.
Meet without me. I'm staying with Anya.
That made her heart beat faster. Hope moved through her, and she squashed it ruthlessly down. Why did women accept men back when the men that hurt them tossed a bone to them? Men broke hearts, betrayed women, did horrible things, but one nice gesture and women were ready to forgive, to hope that one little statement meant Reaper cared for her, that she meant something to him after all. Maybe she did, but it hadn't been enough. There was no fighting his club for him. This is important. I'm aware we have to plan getting Hammer's woman back. You and Czar do the planning. When I have to go, I will, but right now, my priority is Anya. So is ours, Reaper, Steele said. We have a situation. Anya's heart jumped in her chest. Steele was talking about her. She was the situation. The meeting was about her. Her fingers found the hem of the sheet, and she pulled it inch by inch into her palm to make a tight fist. Terror swept through her. She couldn't go through that interrogation again. Now she wanted Reaper gone so she could make her escape. "Am I a prisoner?" She had to know. Reaper spun around. "Of course not." He looked genuinely shocked. "Then I want to go. Right now. Where are my clothes?" Reaper exchanged a look with Steele. "Baby, settle down. You're in no condition to leave, and you have nowhere to go. Lana and Blythe are working over at the house, so I can take you there as soon as your headache is gone." Her gaze strayed to Steele. "I'm not stupid. Something's up involving me. I'm not going through that again. I won't let any of you put me through that." She sounded weak to her own ears, weak and shaky. But she hoped her determination came through. She would fight them every inch of the way. A part of her was screaming at her to shut up, to pretend everything was fine, go with the flow, and when she had lulled them into a false sense of security, make a break for it. But terror was mounting, and she couldn't help blurting out her resolve. "Anya, look at me." Reaper went to her, one knee on the bed, bending close so she was forced to look into his eyes. "I stand in front of you. That's my solemn word. Ask anyone. I never go back on it. No one will touch you again. Not one of my brothers, not one of my sisters, and no outsider. You're under my protection. That's my promise to you. You got me? You understand?" She searched his eyes, his face, those beautiful features that were cut by numerous scars. Such a gorgeous man. So broken and damaged. Could she believe him? Would he really give her what he was telling her he would? She saw sincerity. She heard it in his voice. Did it make her weak to want to forgive something so unforgivable? What kind of woman had the capacity to do that? And what kind of life would she have if she truly were able to forgive him? One with the club? She wanted to believe Reaper, and maybe she was beginning to. But she knew she wouldn't fit in. She just had to bide her time, get stronger, get some clothes. Very slowly, she nodded. "Then settle. It's a meeting. I'll find out what the problem is, and I'll come back and let you know how we intend to fix it, if that's what you want. But be careful of asking. Sometimes the truth isn't easy," he cautioned. She found she could breathe again. She nodded and looked past him to Steele. The man was young to be the vice president of the club. He was younger than Reaper. She had the feeling she knew why Reaper was called Reaper. But Steele, what did that mean? "Anya," Steele addressed her, "I hope you're feeling better." She looked away from him. He'd been there. They'd all been there. Now he, like Reaper, wanted it to be over. Maybe the pain was easing, but the fact that it had been done, and done collectively, they'd all stood by and watched, she'd never get over. "I felt like an insect pinned to a board while all of you watched him torture me. I felt like it wouldn't have mattered if I died like that. You all would have just sat there watching the show, so no, I'm not feeling better." She could be a bitch, and she let that part of her loose out of self-preservation. "I can imagine it felt that way to you," Steele said. "I'm sorry you're hurting. There was no one in that room who felt good about what happened.
All of us wanted to stop it, and all of us wish it had never happened. I know that doesn't go very far to make you feel any better, but it is the truth. He disappeared out of the doorway, and Reaper sank down onto the bed next to her.
Did it really feel like that?
Yes.
She wasn't letting him off the hook. She could tell by the scars he'd covered with multiple tattoos that he'd been tortured. Maybe to the club members, what Absinthe had put her through wasn't meant to torture, was just a means to an end, but it was enough to show her these people didn't include her in their circle.
I want you to remember what I said, Reaper. I meant every word. You and the rest of them are never doing that to me again. I'll find some way to stop you.
I hear you, Anya. He reached for her hair, ran his fingers through the strands as if fascinated by the dark mass. You'll remember what I said and we'll be fine. They weren't going to be fine. Not ever again. Already the pills were easing the ache in her head, and she wanted to run while she could. But Reaper was right when he said she had nowhere to go. Her car had seen better days and had finally decided to give up the ghost.
Ghost.
She shivered and rubbed her hands down her arms. Those men were scary in a different way than the club members were.
Do the men from the Ghost Club really have a woman right now?
His eyes went on alert. It was strange how fast his demeanor changed, going from sweet to all business.
Why do you ask?
I was thinking about my car, and it reminded me of the club where I worked and what those men did to my roommate.
They didn't kill her outright, Reaper. They hurt her as much as they could before they let her die. At some point, they had to know she wasn't me, but they still continued.
If you worked for them, wouldn't they recognize you?
She shook her head. These men weren't ever in the club. I hadn't seen them before.
Wait. Reaper rubbed his jaw. I'm confused. You saw these men, but they were never in the bar where you worked?
She shook her head.
No.
As far as I know, they were never in the club, but I saw them as I was coming home. They were getting off the elevator in my apartment building. I knew they were affiliates of the club, though. They wear cufflinks, little gold ghosts. When I first saw the manager of the club's cuffs, I thought they were cool. I remember I even said something about them to him. Reaper shook his head, annoyed with himself. He'd missed that. The two men attempting to take apart the mayhem president's wife and daughter had worn suits. He hadn't thought to check cufflinks. It was a good observation.
You think they have a hit team?
It was not only possible, but probable. They would be men not used to wearing jeans and tees in a bar. His heart began a slow acceleration.
Last night, those three men Elena sat with briefly. Had you ever seen them before?
She sat up, her eyes going wide.
That was his woman. Smart. Catching on fast.
Those men. The meeting Steele wants you to go to. They may have been here for me.
Even if they have found you, they'll never get to you. You're safe. Every man will fight for you. Lena and Elena, too. The entire club.
And who will keep me safe from them?
Her voice broke his heart. I will. Always. You can trust that. The sheet slid down her soft skin to pool around her waist. She had full breasts. He hadn't had the opportunity to touch them, to feast on them. He'd thrown those chances out the window. Sitting there, looking at her, there was no resisting that temptation, not even when his mind went to the ugly possibility that those men had come to find Anya, not Czar and Blythe. Especially not when that was a possibility. He had to find a way to make her want to stay. He wasn't good with words. He didn't know how men were supposed to act in a relationship, but he knew her body wanted his. He could see the desire in her eyes, feel it in the fine tremor that went through her. He cupped the soft weight of her breasts in his hands, his thumbs sliding over her nipples in a whisper.
Sometimes, Anya, I can't breathe when I see you. He gave her truth when he would normally have kept his mouth shut. Her breath hitched. She should have stopped him, but she didn't. Her eyes went wide, and she bit her lower lip, but she didn't protest. Reaper wrapped one arm around her back and bent his head, taking his time, giving her every opportunity to say no, but she remained silent. His mouth moved over the top curve of her tit, so soft. He felt his heart beat in his cock. He was exposed. He didn't want her to put her hands on him, not yet, not until he knew she'd be safe, but he couldn't resist the temptation of tasting her. He nipped her skin, felt her body tremble in his arms. His tongue flicked her nipple. Her breath shuddered out. His mouth closed over her breast, and he suckled strongly, flattened her nipple against the roof of his mouth, danced, flicked, sucked, then brought his teeth into the play. Her arms went around his head, cradled him to her, fingers stroking his hair while her body arched, offering him what he wanted. A small little cry broke from her. She was sensitive, responsive. He loved that. Her body really did belong to him. He wasn't alone in suffering that. His was all hers. It always would be. He hadn't ever responded to a woman the way he did to her. His mouth left her breast, and he kissed his way up her throat, his tongue swirling over the pulse there before he trailed fire up to her lips. He kissed her with everything he was. Man, beast, killer, biker, hers. Every single cell in his body belonged to her. She'd branded him, and along with the colors he wore on his back, he wanted her brand right over his heart, her name tattooed right across it. Fire ran down his spine. Flame settled in his belly, roaring there. Burning spears pierced his skin, and a firestorm hit his cock and balls. She did that with her kisses. He had barely started, and she'd ignited an inferno beyond anything he'd ever felt. A knock had him lifting his head to glare at his brother. "A little busy right now," he snapped, his thumb sliding back and forth across her nipple. His mind was on her lush body and her fantastic tits that rivaled a perfect ass. His head was roaring and his cock raging. He didn't have time to put up with a bunch of bullshit from his brother. Savage nodded solemnly. "I see that. Nevertheless, Elena sent me ahead of her. She wanted to know if Anya wants coffee or tea. I'm just the messenger. Don't kill me." Reaper glared at him. Anya's fingers slipped slowly from his hair, as if she was working to keep them from being seen. She caught the edge of the sheet and brought it up over her breasts. Reaper hated to see them covered and wished he had a knife handy to part his brother's hair. She was suddenly tense, and he glanced down at her. She was completely covered. He knew she wasn't the same way they were about nudity. The tension running through her had nothing to do with nudity and everything to do with Savage being in the room. She looked as if she found the hem on the sheet very interesting, refusing to look up at his brother. "Bad timing," he said it gruffly. Savage shrugged. "Don't think it much matters when you're around her. Tea or coffee, Anya?"
"Coffee. Black."
She shifted her body just slightly to put Reaper squarely between them. Reaper liked that. Liked that she used him for protection. But he didn't like that she thought she would need it just because Savage came into the room. Her voice was polite, pleasant, a mere whisper of sound.
"Would you get me the flannel? I put it in here somewhere."
He liked that she wanted his shirt, that something of him would be surrounding her. Obediently, he found it and handed it to her. She dropped the sheet and slid into the arms of the shirt. He caught her hands. "Don't button it, baby. Just bring the edges together." He slid under the sheet with her, close, his leg tangling with hers, shoulders touching. She hesitated and then dropped her hands.
"Reaper, we aren't going to have a thing."
They were going to have a thing. He just had to figure out the best way to go about it. "Not sure what you mean by that, babe. We aren't going to fight, if that's what you mean. I plan to give you everything you've ever wanted, so there isn't going to be any need to fight."
He slipped his hand inside the open shirt and caressed her tit.
"Can't make up my mind which I like best, your tits or your ass. You're so fucking gorgeous. There's no way to choose."
She shook her head, color sweeping up her neck into her face. She leaned into his hand, and he used his fingers and thumb to stroke her nipple. Gently, barely there, his touch whispering, lulling her, watching her face. God, he wanted her. Not momentarily, not just for her body. He wanted to wake up to her, to go to sleep with her. He wanted to hear that laugh of hers all day long.
"I mean, I'm going to tell Czar to take his job and shove it."
"That's okay. You don't want to work. I've got money. Enough for both of us. That house is going to take some work." Deliberately, he misunderstood her. "Needs your touch." His finger and thumb stroked and then tugged. She gasped, and he tugged a little harder, pinched down. Her body shuddered with need. His fingers went back to stroking.
"Want to put my mouth on you. Go to sleep like that. Wake you up eating you. Nothing tastes so good on you, like candy."
"Reaper, I can't stay here. Not after what happened. I get that you all thought it was necessary. It isn't even that. It's the club. It's the fact that I'll always be second to everyone else. Don't you think I want to stay with you? I do. I want this as much as, or more than you. But as much as you want my body, you don't feel the same way I do. Not about a relationship. I told myself one night would be enough, and I'd walk. Maybe I could have then, but I was fooling myself. I'm halfway in love with you, and you're pulling me in deeper." He had never been so happy to hear anything in his life.
"Why do you think I'm not committed? You know what happened last night. So aside from that..."
Really? She pushed his hand off her breast and turned slightly in the bed to glare at him. She didn't realize the action parted the shirt more, exposing one breast. That, her hair wild and tumbling around her, her mouth so close and her green eyes sparkling at him, sent another surge of heat right through his cock. She could get him going without even trying.
"Enlighten me."
Before he jumped her, talking was not his forte. Action was, and he wanted action.
"You left, remember? Just walked out without a single word. Did you think that made me feel like you cared? And then you did it a second time. Walked me to the bathroom and you were gone. Then again you left after you jacked off all over me.
There's an explanation. Enlighten me." She used his own words against him. He looked away from her.
"Anya, sometimes a man has history, things in his past he doesn't want the woman he cares about to know. This is one of those things. I'm working on it, and I'm working toward maybe telling you one day, but you'll have to be patient with me. I never thought I'd tell you the things I told you last night."
"Worse than what you told me last night?" Her voice was soft, melting into him, soothing him. She didn't push. She didn't demand. She just dropped one hand on his bare thigh and rubbed gently, comforting him.
"Worse. For me, far worse."
"Okay, honey. We'll drop it for now.
You going to tell me if you wore me all day on your skin?"
"No."
She leaned her head back against the headboard.
"No."
He was going to get it out of her, just not then.
"Here's Elena." The aroma of the food heralded her arrival.
"Best cook ever."
Because he knew it mattered to her, he pulled the flannel closed over her breast, depriving him of the view but earning him a quick, grateful look from under her lashes. Elena stepped into the room carrying a large tray. Savage followed her with two full coffee mugs.
"Can your eyes take a dim light on you?"
he asked while Elena set down the tray. Anya nodded. "I think. The headache is much better this morning, and I just took some more pain pills." The hurt was still in her voice, but the anger was gone. Reaper would have preferred it the other way around. More, she was averting her eyes again, not looking at either Savage or Elena.
Her body was tense against his. Small tremors moved through her. He put one hand on her thigh to try to help ease the anxiety, but she moved slightly away from him. Elena dished up her famous eggs Benedict and toast, handing each of them a smaller tray to make it easier. She took a seat opposite them, the one nearest the door. "Anya, I should have stood with Reaper last night and protested. I know it was important. I'm not saying it wasn't. We can't lose Czar or Blythe. You have no idea what Czar has done for us, how many times he saved us and from what. But I still should have backed Reaper. Blythe is trying to teach us how to be better people." She hesitated. "We didn't learn, like other people, how to..." She broke off again, frustrated. "Thank you," Anya said quietly, very politely. "I appreciate what you're trying to say." Reaper frowned. He didn't like that she still found a way not to look at Elena, but there was nothing he could do about it, not without calling attention to it. "It's just that we don't want you to leave. None of us. Not one single person in the club. You're important to Reaper, and that makes you family to us. I wanted to give you the heads up that Blythe is on her way over. Reaper, you might want to eat fast, dress, and go to the meeting. Blythe is going to stay with Anya." "Blythe?" Reaper's heart did a little stutter of happiness. Blythe was magic. Blythe could maybe fix this when the rest of them didn't have a clue how. And it needed fixing. For all his attempts, Anya still, despite her politeness, wasn't looking at any of them. "Yes," Elena said, relief sliding into her voice. "Blythe." "These eggs are fucking good, Elena." "My sentiments, exactly," Anya echoed in that same polite voice. "And the coffee is excellent as well. Coffee isn't really my specialty. I was telling Czar we needed a little coffee shop or a drive-thru, something really small. His oldest daughter, Darby, could work in it. She's been saying she wants a job. Blythe and Czar want her close. If she worked here, we could all keep an eye on her and she'd be safe," Elena said. "I didn't have a chance to meet her," Anya said. "She's a great kid," Elena told her. "Wild as hell," Savage commented. "We're always pulling her out of the parties and taking her ass home." "She's a kid," Elena protested. "She's supposed to party." Savage didn't say anything because they all heard the sound of a woman's voice laughing. Reaper nearly threw the plate of mostly eaten eggs onto the bed and jumped up, grabbed his jeans and stepped into them. Anya took her cue from him and buttoned the flannel. When Reaper turned to face the door, he gave Anya a good view of the tattoo on his back. It was the same as the one on his jacket. The tree, crows, and skulls. Some day he was going to tell her the significance. Now wasn't the time. He'd seen the way she avoided looking at Savage and the colors he wore. Czar brought Blythe right into the room. "Brought my woman to see yours, Reaper," he said. "She's going to stay with Anya while we talk. It's important, or I wouldn't pull him away, Anya." He stepped closer to the bed. "How are you feeling this morning?" The moment Czar came close, Anya moved subtly away. Her entire body was stiff and vibrating with tension. Reaper reached for her hand, brought it to his thigh, positioning his body to the side of the bed and a little in front of her. He knew Czar would never hurt her, but he couldn't let go of his resentment toward the man. Anya's strong negative reaction fed his own bitterness. Czar meant everything to him. Father, brother, mentor, best friend, and this was the first time they'd fought over anything other than Czar's security. Czar still had his woman. He hadn't seen her torn apart by his brothers and sisters. "I'm better, thank you," Anya said in her most polite tone. Her voice was tight. She avoided looking at Czar and the cut he wore. Yeah. His woman really didn't like his club or their colors. The last time he saw his jacket, his colors meant everything to him. It had been in the bathroom on the floor, covered in vomit. Shit.
He brought Anya's hand to his mouth and kissed her knuckles. I won't be long. Have fun with Blythe or rest. Don't open the screens yet, Blythe. He added as a caution and a way to tell both Czar and Blythe that Anya was still hurting.
Elena stood and collected the trays, leaving the mug of coffee. She smiled when Anya thanked her so politely, but her smile was strained. Anya wasn't rolling over for them, and Reaper knew Elena had made breakfast to try to break the ice. To his astonishment, Savage handed him his jacket. Clean, even smelling good. Savage didn't look at him, just kept walking. He would never say a word about cleaning his brother's jacket for him, but he'd done it, and Reaper was grateful. All the club members were working to make up for their screw-up. Blythe closed the door and moved deeper into the bedroom. She smiled at Anya. How are you really feeling? Anya watched her warily. This was a setup if she ever saw one. The pain is a lot less. I was under the impression you weren't... She stopped, not knowing what to say. Hadn't Reaper said Czar would never tell Blythe? How much did she know? Czar came in upset last night. Very upset. We have a rule in our home. He tells me the strict truth if I ask. Most of the time, I don't want to know club business, but if I ask, I have to know I can handle the truth. I love my husband very much, so I'm careful of the things I decide to ask about. It's also a protection for me. I can't testify against him if it came to that, because I don't know anything. They can't compel me by threatening to take my children away. And you're okay with the things the club chooses to do? He promised me no drugs. That was a high priority for me. I know they wouldn't touch human trafficking because they go after those that do. They have to do things, sometimes to get information they need. I understand that. But if I ask, he tells me. That's simple. Last night, I asked. She sighed and sank down on the edge of the bed. He told me what he did caused a rift between you and Reaper. It also caused a rift between Reaper and him. Anya had heard a little of what had transpired between Czar and Reaper the night before. She knew their relationship was strained. You have to understand, they don't fight. They're always in sync. They trust each other and have each other's back. Czar has worried about Reaper for a very long time. The entire club is worried about him. Czar knew immediately that Reaper was attracted to you. You don't know what a big deal that is. Reaper stays away from everyone. He'd stayed far away from Anya as well. Then he started coming into the bar, and she couldn't get her mind off him. The moment he wanted you fired, which was completely out of character for a man like Reaper, Czar knew it was you. He came home so excited. He kept asking me to make certain Reaper didn't mess up and lose you. Then last night happened, and Czar was so afraid for me, he insisted Absinthe question you. Reaper protested, was angry with him. He said some of the others were as well. Ice, Storm, Preacher, Savage, of course, Lana and Elena. But he knew they wouldn't speak against him because they don't. Apparently Lana had. More and more it looked as if Reaper had at least protested. That was something. Anya held that to her. The pills were making her sleepy, but she wanted to hear what Blythe had to say. In spite of everything, she was beginning to hope there was a slight chance. She just didn't know if she could forgive them all, and she didn't want to come in second to the club. What they did to you was wrong. They were brought up as children without parents or society to teach them. They had Czar. He was 10 when he started trying to save them all, a little boy with toddlers being brutalized, just as he was. They made their rules and code and have lived by it ever since. Anya was well aware of that. She'd been on the wrong side of that code. Reaper has made it clear that you're the one for him. Everyone in the club has accepted you. I want you to know, when Czar came back to me, and he had been gone for 5 years without a word, I didn't want anything to do with him. I was pregnant when he left. He didn't know it. But then, Blythe stumbled over the words, and her eyes filled with tears.
I was beaten with a baseball bat when I was 8 months along. She lived 2 days. I couldn't have any more children, and he wasn't there.
Oh, Blythe!
Anya sat up straight, wanting desperately to comfort the other woman. I didn't think I could ever forgive him. Eventually, he convinced me to try, and I'm so glad I did. I'm happy, really, really happy, Anya. And I think if you can find it in your heart to forgive Reaper and the others, you'll find you have a huge family, men and women who will love you and watch out for you. I'm not saying it will be easy. Reaper is a damaged man. They all are damaged, but he's worth it. I don't want to be second to the club, and if nothing else, what happened showed me I would be. What happened to you was awful. Czar was devastated over the whole thing. So more than anything, that told me it had to be terrible for you. I'm so sorry. I know they seem horrible, frightening people with no real emotions, but that isn't true. Anya didn't react, but just sat shaking her head, tears shimmering in her eyes. I wish I could do something to help you feel better, but I can only try to reassure you that they are good people with their own code, and once you're with them, they will extend every protection to you and your family. Blythe shook her head. I thought that I would be second to the club as well, but it isn't the case. They've all accepted me into their family. I know I'm one of them. The children are family to them. You would have that, too. And if you left Czar, if you broke up with him, would you still have them?
I think so. I think they'd always watch over me and the children.
Certainly if something happened to him, they would.
Anya was silent a moment, and then she shook her head again.
Reaper and I didn't have a past. We're not exactly in a relationship. I don't know what he wants from me half the time, and I don't know if he can give me the things I need, because I can't be second. Czar puts me first. He loves the club, but I know I'm first. Reaper's playing catch-up with learning how to be in a relationship. He makes a mistake and learns from it. I don't believe that you'll ever be second again. Not with Reaper. Not if you give him a chance.
Anya pushed at the dark hair falling around her face.
I don't know if I'm strong enough. You're strong. Give him time to show you. I promise you, Anya, you won't ever regret it. I'll be here to help you. So will Elena and Lana. The men will help you. All you have to do is ask for what you need.
Anya slid down deeper under the covers.
I'm sorry. I can't quite keep upright. They gave me some pretty heavy pain pills.
Go to sleep, honey,
Blythe said.
We'll talk more later.
Just think about what I've said.
There was no way Anya could do anything else when she closed her eyes. All she saw was Reaper.
Chapter 11 Two of these three men are hitmen, Code said, pointing to the photographs of the three men who had been in the bar the night before. This one, Tom Randall, the one Elena conned, is an investigator and is on retainer with the Ghost Club. Steve and Mike Burrows are hitmen and work, also on retainer for the club, under the guise of being consultants. They are uptown hitmen. They work out of private offices, I kid you not, in San Francisco. Randall works from an office in the same building. Reaper's heart took the blow like a hard punch. He'd been expecting it, but he'd also been holding out for a miracle. There were just too many hits coming at Anya. They weren't out of the woods yet, he knew that. She was still trying to pull away from him. He had to get her away from the club for a little while, seal her to him somehow before reintroducing her into their world. Are they here for Anya or Czar? Steele asked the question the others wanted to know. Code glanced at Reaper as if expecting him to lose his shit. He held himself still, already knowing the answer. Czar isn't on their radar. They were sent to track Anya. Apparently, Randall was the one to track her. and then he was told to get information on the club and the club's president for future reference. They didn't believe our club was large enough to bother milking our bank accounts. Transporter snorted. They clearly haven't managed to hack into your books, Code. They'd see we stole billions from the swords and that we all had health